Jen Shaw.
And I'm Kate O'Reilly, and you're listening to XOXO.
JK.
A podcast about good stuff, real stuff, funny stuff, and this week, we're gonna have a special guest on.
Oh my god, I'm so excited about this.
A very, very, very special guest.
Oh my god.
The amazing Sally Franson is here in studio with us today.
Hello.
You have to say hello, dear heart baby angel.
Hi, baby angel.
Dear heart baby angels.
I love her.
Aww. So do I. So do I. So Jen, you wanna give us
So here's the thing. Sally is like one of my most favorite people in the whole entire world, and she's gonna freak out when I'm saying all this.
I am so embarrassed.
But like, you know how like you meet somebody like for the first time, and within like 2 minutes, you're just like, your heart is like completely open to them.
Yes.
Like that is like how I feel about Sally.
Me
like,
too.
We met a class at Sulcana, and I think we went to brunch like that first
day.
And like within like 2 minutes, we were like, oh my God, I love you so much. Like it was amazing. And there's a lot of things I love about Sally, but she is super free spirited, hilarious, talented, smart, wonderful person. She's an accomplished writer. She's a teacher. She is a yoga instructor and practicer, a comedian, cancer survivor.
What?
Twerker.
What?
Twerking it. Twerk it out.
That's how I healed my cancer. Just kidding. That's not science.
Twerking.
And
I like it though.
She's working on a novel right now. I mean, just like amazing stuff. And she basically, and I don't mean to talk about you like you're not here. You basically are like, I hate when people are like, you're an inspiration, but like you really are. And you make me want to like have so much fun in life. And I just think that is like, yeah, you need to have those kinds of people around you. They make you want to like live. You make me want to live life. So I'm
me
super
too.
Excited that you're here.
I'm so grateful to be here with you, queen.
Thank you for being here.
Jen was like, maybe you should come on the podcast. And I was like, when is it? like immediately committed so hard.
Jen said, Sally's into it. It was awesome. I was like, perfect.
I'm a Virgo, so like whenever I like really commit to something, like I'm all in. Like there's nothing casual about me.
Did you listen to 18,000 podcasts to prepare for today?
I just, I went to a yoga class and then I ate a
1800?
Banana.
18? One?
Amazing. Okay, Sal.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
Absolutely.
So like first question I just want to ask you, because I feel like it's the most important question, is like, how did you become so cool and fun?
I think do you want the real answer?
Yes.
I think honestly, like a ton of therapy.
Oh,
like
my God.
I think that is like actually what makes me a cool, fun person, because like
that's a great answer.
Yeah.
I'm often compelled to say that first when someone says like, how did I get that life?
Yeah.
And I think I always like do a little check on who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
what I mean?
Like, threshold here?
Are they going to get it like and absorb it? Like that's a real thing that people do to get.
Well, and like how self-aware someone is, because.
Right.
I always do a little like scan, not like the what shoes are they wearing, but like kind of that scan of how present they are and how open they would be to receive that information. But it's so I'm so glad you said that out loud. And
it's very embarrassing, you know, because it's not like I wish I could be like, oh, because I like am a big risk taker and glamorous. But that's, I mean, really, literally.
Which you are both of those things, too.
Well, yeah. But it's also like I spend like time just like, you know, well, David Foster Wallace is one of my favorite writers, talked about there's like two kinds of fun. The first kind of fun is when you start doing something you have a natural like affinity for it, and people are like, hey, you're good at that, or that you're fun to be around or whatever. And you're like, I am. And then sort of the doubt kicks in. And you're like, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm actually garbage or whatever. And then you work through all those layers of conditioning and biology or whatever. And then there's like this very deeper layer of fun where you're just like, I feel like I can reveal myself in more meaningful ways to people. And then, of course, I feel known.
Yeah.
And then I'm even more fun because I get more snuggly with them.
Yes.
That's like the
snuggly.
Best word. You are the most snuggly person I know.
Very snuggly.
Yeah.
You're like, if my puppy was a person, I feel like you guys would be the same, because he like in the morning he's like, hi, hug me now.
Like seeking.
Yeah. Hold me.
Yep. Like, hi, just let me sneak under your arm. And that's just, yep, totally. You guys are the same.
I love that. And, you know, I felt the same, very much the same that you did with Sally, like in the beginning of, or meeting you. It was just like you saw me.
Yes, that's exactly.
Yeah. Yep. And that this was something you just mentioned. Like then they see you more, know you more. You're able to present yourself as you are.
Yeah.
But that was, and I consider myself someone that really like radically shows herself and this is going to rhyme and it's kind of cheesy, but shows herself and knows herself. And I'm just speaking, but, and then I met you and I thought like, you are like a like radically more advanced than I am in that respect.
I mean, to me.
So that became totally inspirational to me as well, because I think that even when you have done a ton of therapy like I have and like you have.
And therapy trio. That would be our improv group name.
You know, you kind of like, you can find yourself still like, even though you've advanced, you can find yourself stuck then in that space.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Because it's comfortable and safe, and you have advanced. You've, like, made progress. And then when I met you, and then I started coming to your class, which wasn't, you know, simultaneous. It was sort of just by chance. Then I felt like it really, truly was, you were the catalyst for taking me up to that, like, new level of being truly. I'm not saying that as because you're in my house as a guest today, but it was really like the two things I needed to see, like, okay, there is another level of what I want personally, even though, you know, you may be somewhere else yourself, but there's something else that I want. And then going to your class, it was the total complementary practice that I needed to be super vulnerable. And then when I, you know, working through all this body stuff.
Oh my God.
And, you know, then like having you, you know, be in studio with you and as a, you know, yoga student of yours was just, I mean, I'm welling up right now just thinking about it. And I've talked about it so much with my partner and others. And it's just like, but also kept part of it to myself. Because part of it feels so holy and like, it feels so, what's the other word? Not holy. Holy is often associated with, you know, religion, but like just so sacred.
Genuine.
Yeah. So keep part of that for myself, which is something I'm working on a lot right now.
Yeah.
It's like knowing that I don't have to share everything for it to be real.
Oh my gosh. Completely. Because there's this part of me where it's like, I was reading this essay by Mary Ruffel about fear, and it was about, and the like, and secrets and how you repress and then you express. And there's this part of me that like, after kind of growing up in a repressed way, wants to kind of express myself all the time, you know, and some of that's like super great and fun and whatever. And then there is that, you know, there's that still center where it's like, well, maybe that's just mine. And like that thing that's been activated in you, like in class and through your body work, it's not mine either. Like I didn't do that for you. We created a space together where that could happen. I feel very mindful of that too. Cause like, I'm really anti guru. Like, you know, it's not me. Like, it's like something that we share and are learning together.
Yep. Yeah. I feel like that too. I feel like, and that's like, I'm more embodied now than I ever have been. Mm-hmm. And that's something to just,
oh my God,
like, stay silent about, but you know, or right. create space for in that moment that you say that, because you say it and it's like, oh, embodiment is something that it's talked about a lot now.
Right.
I read about a lot of it. And but then when you truly are, it is like,
it's really weird.
It's completely transcendent. It's like,
it's so weird.
Yeah,
I'm very sensitive, actually. Yep. Like I go into a space and I'm like, I'm very attuned to things that I feel like I was grown up or socialized to not. We're, you know, just like shut it down and like,
yes,
you know,
the
like,
bigger the problem, the less we talk or feel
right.
it.
Yeah. And that like actually being in my own skin is very, can be very painful at times. Like literally I'll have like physical discomfort. And then I'm like, whenever I have big feelings, like I can lie, my brain will lie to me all the time, but like the body won't lie. The body has never lied, you know?
No, it won't. I like that. I'm going to look into that Mary Ruffel essay because I love the idea of express and repress and like cycle of that.
Yeah.
because I've found that a lot too with like my mind catching up with my body.
Oh my God.
Been a big theory, like a big.
Oh my God.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, totally.
Like you're like, wait a minute, that's not true anymore.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And then you're in that moment and you're like, wherever, if you're at home, great, because then you can just sob.
Yeah.
But like realizing that in the grocery store or something when you're like choosing food, which is a big part of embodiment. So
yeah.
Well, and even still, like with the scale versus how your clothes fit. If you're just thinking about body, you know, and I know we've dealt with this, Kate, like, like I, you know, as you know, in the last year, like I've a couple years, I guess now, like I've lost a lot of weight, but like now the number on the scale is starting to go up again, but it's not, my clothes still fit the same. It's, it has nothing, it's muscle mass and it's like the, my body has changed and like, I still fit the clothes that fit after the weight loss thing, and they still fit the same way, but it's such a mind fuck because you're like, why is this number getting bigger? But it's not about like it's it, and that's a hard thing to to rationalize and like
it
and,
is
and like the I see the pictures, I can see like the before and the now, and like there is a
girl distinct, you so fine
thank you there's a distinct difference, but like I'm like, but wait a second. This is, it doesn't match. Like I, and like I'm trying to work through that ugliness in your brain about that. It's like really hard.
Yeah, which is sort of the, you know, argument behind like not weighing yourself a lot. But I find myself weighing myself because it keeps me on track. Like everybody has different reasons to, to do it.
Yeah.
But I just went through that the last couple of weeks. So I have lost about 50 pounds and in the, since like July or August, and I have a lot of weight to lose. So but I'm not attaching it so much, but I am. So I went through like all the clothes that didn't fit in my closet now fit. And so I'm doing that like kind of level up or down or whatever you want to however you want to think about it. Like everything fit better. And I was like, woo. And then I started moving into clothes that I haven't worn in a few years.
Right.
And then now I'm out of that stuff.
Right.
And I'm in this really weird space where I almost have like just a little bit of dysmorphia with where I was and where I've been.
Yeah.
And I just want to be like really right here thinking about that because I feel like it could get out of hand
in
a quick minute.
Yeah.
So I keep, that's why I'm doing yoga so much. And I committed to doing yoga every day in January in order to stay inside.
Yeah.
And know that I'm making progress, even though I don't have any more like clothing milestones.
Yeah.
Maybe we call it that. And I you know, attached to that a lot. Like clothing is such a huge part of my story and our stories as women. And it's just like, you know, the number could be. So really similar thing going on right now.
Like I have these jeans that did not, I couldn't even like put on. You know what I mean? Yes. Like I couldn't even button the jeans. And like they fit me. The waist is too big. The thighs are getting a little tight because I did grow half an inch on each thigh during the last cycle of working out.
That was so great.
Muscle. But like I'm like, listen, do you not remember that these, you couldn't even put these jeans on?
Yeah.
And now you can put them on. They're big in the waist, but the weight, the number, it's just a fuck. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But so, like, that's the thing that you're just like, I struggle with because I'm like, You're fine.
I think it's universal too. And like the more we tell our story, the more people will tell us theirs. And that like, those are the moments that I look for all the time is just like someone else looking at me and saying, me too.
Yeah.
Well, in whatever, you know?
Yeah. I've actually been thinking about this. I mean, of course we're women, right? Like we're sort of like, this is like our bread and butter. It's like, what are you going to talk about? You're like,
body.
It's a default mode, you know? And it's like, you know, in my over the past couple of years have gained weight, which is good for me, right? Like I got a booty now, and
right?
Like, I, you know, like my boobs are bigger, and that has been really hard for me because as someone who's really tall, right, there's this sort of expectation, well, if you're tall, you take up space in one way, you know, but you can't take up space in two ways. So it's like that wanting to sort of shrink myself down so I had that sort of lissome look was in me forever. And I worked in fashion, which didn't help, you know? And so like, as I move into my 30s and like having much more of a womanly body and like a child rearing body. Like, should that be a thing for me? It's been like hard to accept because there's clothes that I am never going to be able to wear again, you know, mm-hmm. because I don't want to do to my body what I would have to do to wear them again.
Yeah.
And that has, that's like humbling, and it's a continual process for me.
And it's about like treating your body well and being healthy and like eating good food for you, like fueling. Like if you shift your brain to all of that, and I feel like we're moving into lots of other territory that we're going to talk about on our next podcast too.
Yeah, that's okay. It's such a big huge topic for us.
Like it's about the quality, you know, treating yourself well and like being kind to yourself.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I feel like I've learned from you, though, is I think you treat yourself really kindly. And I
try. You know, it's not all the time,
but
though,
like,
seriously.
You're really mindful of yourself. And that's taught me a lot because, like, I know when I've been like, what are you doing? Let's hang out. And you're like, actually, I'm just going to lay in my bed and watch Netflix because I just need to do that right now. Like, that has taught me that that's okay to do. And I know I've done that to you. Yeah. And, like that is, it's, like, you'd have to know what you need. And, like, the self-awareness level, like, I just think that is very cool. And I think more people need to do that. And, you know, I was thinking, like, today, you know, this day was, like, so scheduled out. I was like, okay, I'm going to be gone from 11:30 until about, like, 8 o'clock straight through.
Wow.
Like, it's Sunday, you know? Like, what we should be doing is, like,
day of rest.
Wearing pajamas and, like, making chili or something.
Netflix and chili.
Yeah,
right?
And, like, doing laundry and, like, you know, not changing. Yeah. Like, don't shower, whatever. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to not do this to yourself. And, like, that is what, you know, what I'm talking about, like being able to just take some time for yourself, like give you what you need. And I feel like that probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, like, you're such a creative person. Mm. Like, is that how you foster that creativity? Like, what, like, how do you do that? Cause I struggle with that a ton.
So, I mean, I love that you're bringing this up because, it's something over the past 3 years has changed a lot for me. Like, I went to graduate school for creative writing, and so it was in these very sort of professionalized modes of wanting to be a creative professional. I don't even know what that meant. You know, I was in my 20s, and was very rigid about how I would make stuff. Like, I was like, I'm going to get up, I'm going to spend X amount of hours writing alone in my office, make this many words, and make sure that you're really not having a good time when you do it, Sally. And then you're going to go to the gym and you're going to be virtuous the rest of the day. You know, it turns out that a starved mind, a starved spirit, a starved body doesn't make good shit. You know,
yeah,
like,
I love that.
Yeah. And so, like, love it. With the help of a lot of people, a lot of teachers, a lot of mentors, a lot of professionals, like, I realized that for me to be creative, I need to spend, even though I'm an extrovert, I need to spend a lot of time alone.
Yeah.
And a lot of time filling my tank up. Like, I randomly, because I'm not teaching right now, I'm on interim, like, I went to the Walker on Thursday afternoon, and sometimes I'll just drive to a random neighborhood and walk around, because I just, something about that randomness, like, and something about that getting unexpected input is what really stimulates that for me, where the subconscious can make those connections that the conscious mind is too, gets too kind of finicky about making. But like, when we're relaxed, right?
Yes.
When we're at ease, when we're feeling playful, like, that's when all the good stuff comes out. Like, when there's that feeling generally of safety and kindness, and, you know, it's like when kids are mucking around on the floor, that's what creativity should feel like, when you're just like, I'm rolling around, like, I don't know what's going on.
I love
but
that.
I think it's great. So
we had a game when I was little called Dead. That was really fun.
Coleman tucks his legs in a certain way that he's like, when he's in that creative state.
He's so cute.
Yeah, he does that. Like, that's just a muck. And I just leave him to, like, the little, like, and you can almost see him, like, he, like, kind of mouths words.
Oh, my God.
You know, like silently. Me too. Yeah.
Especially when I'm writing and I'm trying to figure out what a character, how to describe something, I'll pick my hand up in the air and I'll be like, well, this is what the gesture looks like. So I'll kind of make whatever the gesture is they're eating like. I'm like, what? How could I describe that in like a really precise and elegant way?
That is super interesting.
So just like, yeah. Okay, literally, that's like, it's like being a giant baby, you know? And it's so fun.
Yeah. Well, and we've heard more and more about how play is like, it's absent from our current, like sort of overscheduled lives and like just being able to, you know, just truly like scroll through Netflix, not go there to watch something directed.
Yes, exactly. That just, like, randomization.
That, like that could be it. And that, or that could inspire like the next thing of like,
which like I literally spent 30 minutes yesterday scrolling through Netflix. So I was like, what? I had 42 minutes and I was like, 30 of that was just trying to decide.
I don't know that this is terrible.
No, literally, an astrologer was like, you need to do things like let Netflix choose a movie for you.
Oh,
and
wow.
If you don't like it, watch 20 minutes and watch something else. And so, like, that has really given me permission because I always felt like I had to be good, right? Like, that idea of being good. And
yes.
And then I'm like, I'm going to foster my creativity now. And even that was, like, super rigid.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about comedy. Like, why I had to just, like, take a break for a minute because you can't just...
Well, and I think that's the theme here that we're sort of getting at is that it's sort of bubbled up on its own, but that there is there's a lot of ease and comfort in just like staying in one story. Not in that like expressing or like taking in the reality of the situation.
Right.
It's really comfortable to be like, this is my story right now. And this is what I'm doing. Like, I'm going to be a creative person from this time to this time. And then I'm going to be perfect at the gym.
Right.
And then I'm going to do this well. And then I'm going to eat roasted vegetables with quinoa.
Root vegetables.
Yeah, with a little bit of tahini drizzle.
Right. A tahini drizzle. The tahini drizzle is
room
really
temperature
key
tap
too.
Water.
Yeah. Emphasis on the tahini drizzle.
Yeah. But I found that interesting when you were both talking, is just like, you kind of are like, I am a comedian who also works out and does this, but it's like, truly, you know, the other day you said 10 a.m. on Saturday, it was like, I am not working out that day. I'm going to stay home and do whatever I want that day. And that's where real life and love and creativity can come in and find the space, you know? And like my therapist and I talk about that a lot, where she checks me on like, but that's the story, Kate. She says that. She says that actual sentence to me. And it's maybe the most powerful sentence anybody's said. Because, like, I'm a mom. Right? Like, oh, my God. Try and be fucking involved in a mom story once in a while.
Oh, my God.
Truly, like, it's like, that's all you do. And I was able to get out of it because I left that really big story, like, paradigm.
Right.
But it's like... it's really easy. And this is why, like, you can be really critical of mom friends. I'm critical of mom friends.
Yeah.
Because it's really, really easy to fall into the mom story and stay there and never get anything for yourself in that time.
Which is not teaching your kids anything good either. Right. And I tell my mom friends that all the time. I'm like, listen, I know I've told you this. Like, I think it is so cool and I feel like you can probably relate to this as well. Sally, as I realize, I just point at you, and our listeners at home will be like, "Who is she talking to?"
It's me.
Thank you to our 5 listeners. like I had a mom who didn't have anything that was her own, and I was hers.
Yeah,
and like that was her own. That was all she had, and so coming out of that as an adult, like I didn't know that it was okay to have your own things. And I've learned that as an adult. And like, I've learned that you have value, I have value, and it's okay for me to want to do things for myself. Like, that is good. And for you to teach your children that, I tell every one of my friends that are parents, I'm like, that is amazing. You need to have your own things that you do. You have plenty of time with your children, but you're showing them that you value yourself. And that is the best lesson that you can teach them without, you know, sitting them down in a desk and telling them this is how it goes.
Yeah. Coleman said the other day, because I'm home. When they're home, I'm home. And I was leaving the other day. I went to yoga in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then I was leaving for a second time for something with Dana, I think, and my friend. And he's like, Mama, why are you leaving so much? Mm-hmm. And because I never, you know, leave.
Because they're here every other week.
They're here half the week every time. So I don't leave when they're here typically. Mm. I do things incidentally, but I don't like go out at night when they're here or I don't work a lot when they're here. And that's just what I do to, because I only have them 50% of the time, and it's pretty heartbreaking. But like I said, well, because I am also a friend to Dana. In addition to being your mom, I'm also a friend and I'm also a worker. Yeah. And I just put those labels on myself.
I think that's so cool.
So yeah, they can see me like it's, I pictured as like, this is mom, Kate. And then they, like a lineup of like me in different uniforms.
Yep. Like Barbie.
That. Yeah. Like Kate, like date, like when I go out with Dana or whenever I'm dressed up, they say, Mama, you look like Auntie Dana.
That's cute.
So whenever I put makeup on and have hair and or jewelry or whatever. So that's, I think cute. Of me with my friends as that Kate. And I think, you know, like these, all these Kates need to be nurtured and fostered. So same thing with the comedian Jen or the, you know, teacher Sally or the, you know, all the different parts of yourself all need that sort of like flame under them, not just the one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So tell us how, like, you came through, you know, like, to this level of self-awareness that you're at. We're talking about self-awareness and like, I mean, that's the same similar thing that we've been talking about, but like, did you have any breakthrough moments that you could share or anything?
And was writing like part of that? Cause I mean, you're a great writer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like that takes a certain level of self-awareness.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a weird, I joke with my writer friends. It's like, you know, what do we like to do in our quote unquote free time? We like turn all the lights off and go in a room alone, you know, and like, and think about the past. Like that's what we do. That's our playtime, you know? So I think that like writers have a tendency to be ruminative and I would consider myself ruminative. I don't consider this one of my most endearing qualities because it sort of is linked to, you know, depression and, you know, as a lot of creative people struggle with. Right. So I think that has something to do with it. I think there have been so many big breakthrough moments for me. I think that that's like, I think that's typical of women, you know, who sort of like die and like there's this cycle of samsara, the death and rebirth, where these old selves die and these new selves kind of are replaced. So, you know, like this is very going to make me sound so woo-woo, but that's okay.
I love the woo-woo.
But, you know, like in astrology, the Saturn return is from like 29 to 32. And that's been the past 3 years for me. And during that time, I ended an engagement. I, you know, started a new job, then got a better job, then got an agent. My dad died. I like went way back into therapy, started teaching yoga again, started doing improv and like, you know, and like massive, like literally like a huge, like you said, kind of paradigm change. And I feel like it was because I could intuit that there was a part of me that was dying and I had to sort of push through this birthing process, which was going to be very ugly and messy and painful. And it was, and you know, I think that's life. It's not like we ever kind of get out of that. So I feel like I've been practicing a lot just saying yes, like whatever's coming up and whatever my body's teaching me or, you know, whatever opportunity comes or doesn't come, just being like, okay, like this is going to like grow or die sort of, you know?
Yeah. And I think the acceptance of that, this is what your whole life will be like. Cause I think there's some part of it that when something bad happens that you're like, this is the last time that'll happen.
Yeah.
Like if totally, do you know what I mean?
You're like, phew, I'll never suffer again.
Right. And I think the acceptance of being like, this is, like
this there's going to happen about 50 more times.
Right. Right. Yeah.
There's something so freeing about just accepting that it will be waves.
It will be waves. Yeah. The sky is going to fall again. But every time like it's finished falling, I'm like, whew, well, I feel like I have like at least a grace period before I do that again.
Yes. Totally. Or it's like, it creates like this level of relativity.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like,
right.
Okay, for me personally, that I suffered like terribly through this thing. Mm-hmm. But then like, say someone dying, like I mean, not that I don't suffer, but I have like this different way of dealing with that.
Yeah.
And like for someone's dad dying or something, or someone close to them dying, like it's just, I guess death isn't a great example there, but because everyone is, you know, usually that's a really low, you know, valley, but I feel like there's this level of relativity. Like what is worse for you personally? Like maybe like having your arm broken would be just like not a huge deal for someone who is this profession, but an enormous deal for someone who, you know, writes for a living on a computer.
Right.
Or
right,
something like that. So I feel like that's too, is accepting that there's going to be those things and also that it's going to have, each one will teach us like where it is on a level for us personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as you're saying that, I was thinking, like one of the I don't want to say breakdown either. I just want to say one of the things that I've been thinking about lately that makes it sound less dramatic is that like the more sort of self-awareness I have and understanding I have of myself, the less sort of attached I am to my own personal experience and suffering. Like, because I understand that that's everyone. Like, that's literally everyone. And I think that like our culture is kind of narcissistic. Not kind of, is. And like, the more empathy I have for other people, which comes from empathy having for myself, the less I'm like, you guys, my suffering is very unique, and I'm probably the person who's been harmed the most here.
And which is like the worst kind of person to be around.
It's so tiresome. It's so self-protective and like egocentric. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know, everyone's life is quite hard. You know, life is quite hard.
And that, but that's empathy.
Yeah, but that's like empathy. That's, I feel like, especially growing up, I grew up, like, came of age in the 90s in America. Yeah. It was like, woo, Dow Jones, like, whatever. Like, the default.
Seriously, the poll quotes from this show, like, in the last 20 minutes
have been. Did you just say, woo, Dow Jones?
Yeah, it, like, broke 7,000.
Oh, my God, that is, like, the most hilarious thing ever. Okay, like.
So great. Please continue.
Woo, but, Dow Jones.
Yeah.
Dow Jones, but it's like.
The girl has more to say. She's got more.
Queen has more to say.
I'm sorry.
Like, when you grow up in that, like, that's the context that we grew up in.
I mean, like, yeah.
Excess, the, like, it's just like, oh, yes. I should only be experiencing pleasure and gratification, and nothing should be hard. And if things are hard and I suffer, it means that there's something wrong with life. No. You know, it means that like we've grown up in a culture that's actually toxic in what it teaches about life and teaches us to minimize suffering, to buy our way out of suffering, you know, and it's just like, I bet if we just all relax into it a little bit more, like we would be so like not posting on Facebook all the time about our problems.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a tangent and a snide one, but I went there.
It's actually a great thing to think about right now, because when you do that, then you create more input that you don't need.
Right.
And so you're creating input of people being like, they make jokes when you really aren't in the mood for a joke.
Right, right.
Or they post a picture and you're like, fuck off. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it hits you the wrong way.
Yeah.
So it actually, like, makes the problem bigger.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, almost always.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I'm quoting a Liam Neeson movie, but, like, you know, there's that, like, story where it's like, you know, which wolf are you going to feed or whatever? Or like which demons are you going to talk to? Or, like, what voices are you going to allow to gain predominance in your life, you know? And it's like, I'm, like, pretty committed to, like, not having, like, all my, like, negative little, just, like, having the final say, you know? Because it's not like they're not there in me. That's when people are like, oh, you're so kind. I'm like, I got monsters too, you know, like we all do.
But it's, you're making a conscious choice about how to live. And I feel like that is something that, like, I've learned from you too. Because I think if you would know me, if we would have met 2 years ago, I feel like, and same, you know, I feel like we wouldn't maybe be where we are right now in our friendship. Because, like, I did not know how to, like, I felt like, I think I was, like, a super Debbie Downer all the time. Like, you'd be like, hi, and I'd be like, feline AIDS is the number one killer in household cancer. You know, like, Kate's face right now. Like, I'd always have, like, some kind of ugly thing to say, you know? And, nobody wants to be around a person like that. And that doesn't mean that those things don't exist.
Right, exactly.
But, like, there are people who, you know, it's just, like, suck all the fun and good.
Yeah.
Out of life, and it's not in the way of like they're experiencing that, it's a way that, I mean, they are void of that,
right?
And like,
yeah, and we met when you were starting the idea that people that were happy, you had accepted the idea that everyone that presented as happy wasn't faking it,
yeah.
Because I think even before, like, right before we met, you assumed that everyone that presented as happy was a liar.
Yes.
And then you met me and you're like, wait a minute. And we got to know each other. And I think that, like, you were like, she really is this person.
Right.
Mm. You know what I mean? Like, she's not, this isn't a joke or faking or whatever. And it's like, and also you saw all my bad shit too.
Yes.
So you were like, oh, like you know, because we were close. And that's what I do. Like, I don't tell everybody my bad shit.
Right.
But the people that know me well know all of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So the people that like they, it's almost like they get the privilege, which sounds sort of backwards.
Totally. Yeah, no, totally. Yeah.
But that's the thing. You know what I mean? Like they, so you saw all that too. Yep. And that, but you had accepted that journey on your own. And then I sort of like, we became friends at exactly the right time because I needed more depth to my friendships. Like, and I needed someone who you presented as, I needed someone who was, would take my stuff sometimes and be like,
the classic Jen Schall.
You know, we sat on that boat together, that cult, like super chilly, and it was just like told the whole thing. And there was some stuff where you were like, I had no idea. And then there was a lot of stuff that you told that I was like, I have never heard you speak like this. And I've seen that, that journey has been so beautiful to watch. And
thank you.
Yeah. And you have taught me so many things too about not having to present everything.
Oh, thank you.
In such a packaged way. So yeah, right.
Oh my gosh. You don't present in a packaged way, Jen. At the same time, you present yourself. Like, I think about that with your social media presence on Facebook. Like, it's a delight for me. It is a delight for me. Like, you use it in the way that, like, I wish I could use it. Like, I am, like, too shy, you know, and you are so expressive and you make people laugh and it, you know,
really great conversation start.
Aww, yeah. Thanks, you guys.
Truly. Like, it's just like I struggled through this. And no matter if you present it in like a straight way or a comedian way, you know, it's either way, like people know you well enough now to be like, oh, I can say my stuff too here.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's the Me Too moment. Like, I mean, I sound like Oprah when I'm like, when I say that, but
Oprah,
but I love Oprah.
Oh my God. Of course.
But that's one of those moments where it's just like, truly, I'm just looking for other people to look at me and be like, yeah, I suffered like that too.
Yeah. Thanks. And be like, and also be like, you're okay.
Right.
All those things that you think are like unsayable and make you alien from other people. No.
That's actually the stuff that, you know, makes people see you.
And feel like you're part of a collective.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. I mean, I think down at the base of it, people just want to feel like they belong. Yes. I mean, like, think about middle school. Like, you just wanted to fit in.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I know.
All and you wanted.
I've been loving, figuring out. I've loved going through the journey of figuring out, geez, Kate. That it doesn't have to be like a million people.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be like 12.
Right.
Yes. That it could just be 4.
Yep.
And or 1.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I was really like a quantity over quality sort of.
And oh my God. I talked about that too. Yeah.
I was like, I just want, we'll never talk about anything real, but I just want everyone to know my name and like to be able to invite them to some massive party I have, you know, as opposed to like actually opening up. Like, it's so, because it's so embarrassing.
yeah it was like that night we sat on the World Street Kitchen patio outside.
Oh my God, I loved that
and
night.
We got so far in such a short amount of time. It was that's the stuff
at World Street Kitchen.
Oh my God, that always
night? World Street Kitchen.
Oh, so good. Always. I think about those bowls.
Kimchi and
beef. Oh my God, those bowls.
Oh, so
shout out to World Street.
World Street. Dow Jones woo.
Amazing. Okay, so
Dow Jones woo.
I want to ask you something because I feel like all of us here have gone on crazy stuff in our lives, and you know, we're in our someplace in our 30s or 40s at this point, and like, you know, that's kind of like a big turning point. Like, I always think, like, if I could go back to my younger self and be like, this is what I would say. Like, what, Sal? I feel like you're going to have, like, some amazing thing to say to your younger self. So I want to know, like, what would you say to young Sal?
I'd be like, eat something.
Eat a cheeseburger.
I would just be like, you will be so much less angry if you get the proper amount of nutrition. Yes. You know, and so much less frightened if you get the proper amount of nutrition. Like that, like constantly being in a state of like fight, flight or freeze response. Like I have grief for my younger self and I did that to myself, you know, no one did that to
me. But like as a result of things, I mean, like,
right. Yeah. It's not, it doesn't like it came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So I would say that. And then I would also, I think, so I'm going to like grandstand for a second. Like I think, I would tell myself to relax about the making stuff. You know, like I wanted to write a book when I was in my 20s. I turned 30, like it didn't happen. And I was so punishing towards that and was just kind of going about it all the wrong way because of this sort of a sort of like putting creativity on an assembly line and needing it to look a certain way. You know, the arts don't fit into capitalism. Like it's inherently rebellious because it works on its own schedule. And
you can't compare against anybody else either.
You don't have like sometimes, I mean, it does feel like I am just a conduit and sometimes it's a slog. And like, I wish that I could tell my younger self just to relax and to play more, you know, because I was such a Virgo, just like, oh my God, you guys, like, I just want to be the best. I want to be so successful.
But I feel like being around you, like, we play so much and I,
but that's you. Yeah. Like, I feel like if you would have met me, like, especially when I lived in New York and like, you know, it's sort of like evolved, like, closer to my 20s, such a cunt. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that word.
Yes, you are. We already said fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. We earn our explicit rating is what we always say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like,
were you, I cannot even imagine that, to be honest.
Oh my God. People could. I mean, like, we could call some people.
I can't even.
Yeah, no, neither can I.
Yeah. I mean, I think back to like when you and I did the Lady Parts Justice event in September.
That was so fun.
We hosted a bingo, like it was dildo.
Yes.
Bingo.
I remember the pictures.
Yeah. And we talked the whole time in these like weird like fusion East Coast accents. We wore our sunglasses and
stuff. What are you talking about? We got a
hello.
D.
We hello. Got,
hello.
Love it.
And we had just a blast and we didn't care if anybody else thought we were funny because we thought we were hilarious.
We thought we were hilarious. Which, I literally have no idea if anyone else thought we were funny.
Yeah.
I was dying.
Yeah, me too. We had so much fun and I was like, that is like, you know, grown women just like not giving a fuck.
It was very Lucille Ball.
Yeah, it was like, great.
Yeah, it was very fun.
Anyway, but like awesome. That's playing, you
know?
Like,
playing, yeah.
It was just like in the moment, we were just like feeding off of each other.
Yeah, like, it was so fun.
Yeah, there was no script to that. It was like, we're just make them ups. Make them ups.
You can't really have a script for penis bingo.
No.
The minute you try to pinpoint that thing, you kill the thing.
Literally.
That's what I've always said, that you can't have a script for penis bingo.
Yeah.
I've you know, always
that's
said
another
that.
Quote.
That's another quote. I think.
Pull it. Pull that quote.
Pull it.
Woo! Dow Jones.
But no, the poll quote that I did write down already for the episode is a starved body and mind don't make good
shit.
That's
true.
Yeah, that's true.
And I love that you tied it back to that. Like being a cunt is like you truly weren't.
No, literally, I was like malnourished. Like,
You were actually malnourished.
Yeah.
And how much that has to do with, you know,
hangry. Like,
our whole lives. And our whole next episode. Mm-hmm. So that'll be fun.
Which Sally's gonna stay for?
I wanna stay for you. Nice. You know what? I just let you guys ride that out. I didn't even join. I just let you have it. You can, if you want to find out more about Sally, you can at sallyfranson.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's SallyFranson.
.com.
Soon I'm going to buy sallyfranson.biz.
Ooh, what about sallyfranson.co?
Actually, I'm going to buy sallyfranson.de and pretend I'm German.
Oh, cool. Wasn't co, isn't that like Englandy? UK.UK?
.UK, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be worldwide. I like love it.
Worldwide. Sally Franson worldwide.
Worldwide. Like, may we all be worldwide like Pitbull.
Doesn't he go by Mr. Worldwide?
Yeah, he does. Okay. Mr. Worldwide.
That's what I learned.
I love it.
I just learned that because it's, I think that's like 4 years old. I just learned it. Okay. Cool.
Having the time cool. of our lives.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Can't wait to stick around for the next episode. Oh, I love you guys so much. I feel like I'm going to float away on a cloud of self esteem.
On a cloud.
Nice. Well, you're the best.
You guys are the best.
You're the best.
You're the best. Women die spending an entire day validating the shit out of each other.
Awesome. We are not going to bury that lead.
Okay, this is Jen, and you can find me on Twitter at Jen Schall, which I haven't been tweeting much lately.
Me neither.
But I'm going to do better. Yeah, I'm going to do better.
It's like America shouting at you.
Yeah.
You log on, just like... Bah!
Yep. Or you can
That's
find
what I feel
me
like right now.
Yeah.
You can find me on the internet at jenschall.com, which my website was down for 3 days. I didn't know, but now it's back up.
Oh, good. This is Kate. You can find me at clever-kate.com or on Twitter at cleverkate. And you can find this podcast on mathishard.net or anywhere you listen to podcasts, including
iTunes.
XOXO.
JK. Live your life.
Live your life in front of a microphone. Everyone will know you're a star.
We were born. Born with the mic in our hands. Singing everything that we can. Born with the mic in our hands. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay, that was like a real Barbie and the Rockers song. And then the next, yeah, and the next verse is, when I was a little girl, I closed my eyes to see. And there was Dana, Dee Dee, Derek, and Diva dancing next to me. Because we were born. Born with the mic in our hand. That was a real tape I got with Barbie and the Rockers. Yeah, thank you.